Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today here with Mr. Dennis Hart.
Thank you for listening. How are you? Did you have a nice 4th of July?
I did. I had a great time.
There were a lot of activities around here, and we're going to talk about some of them, but boy, we were lucky.
That's right.
To avoid the thunderstorms and the rain that we had Wednesday afternoon.
We lucked out on the weather, and during the next hour, you'll hear from a wide variety of people and ideas that went into the Ames 4th of July pancake breakfast and Main Street Parade, and we'll also hear about the demonstration that was held this week in front of the Steve King office regarding the incarceration of people at the border. And Susan Guiasta will be here to give us a municipal report from the City of Ames. And before all this, Mr. Dennis Hart, summary of local news from the Ames Tribune. It's all yours.
All right. Well, let's start by looking back at what made news in the Trib last Saturday. And what made news was word about the official grand opening ceremony that took place on Friday at the Tedesco Environmental Learning Center here in Ames. That's a 37-acre park in the heart of the Iowa State University Research Park. It's named, of course, for former Ames Mayor Ted Tedesco. The new park's features include stream access, paved primary and permeable secondary trails, solar-powered stations, and a whole lot more. The park is open from 5 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. each day. Speaking of former mayors, Saturday also brought word that former Ames Mayor Ann Campbell was recognized on Friday with a commemorative plaque over at City Hall. The 42nd plaque added to the exhibit of mayoral plaques there. Ann Campbell's political career spanned 40 years, and during her three terms as mayor, she was involved with the expansion of both the Ames Public Library and the Syrite facility and the construction of the Furman Aquatic Center and the Ames Water Treatment Plant. Current Ames Mayor John Hala praised Campbell during Friday's ceremony, saying she listens, she cares, and she's a friend of everyone here. Also Saturday, a report on how students at Gilbert Intermediate School helped design and replace one of those little free libraries. Now, you've seen them, those small wooden boxes in neighborhoods that offer free book exchanges. They were designed to improve access to books for everyone and to encourage the love of reading. Well, one of those structures over in Gilbert had withstood 7 years of hot summers and cold winters, so students and teachers worked together to create a replacement, and they succeeded. And then there was the story of the Nevada high school student who came up with a unique way to try to finance her school's trip to Costa Rica next year. Aaron Kugler decided to bring a flock of plastic flamingos, yes, plastic flamingos, to the community of Nevada. It works this way. A person can order a flock of flamingos to appear at their home or someone else's, and who wouldn't want that? Kugler would go to the address at night and set up 12 pink flamingos, along with a sign describing her fundraiser. The flamingos stay in place for a couple of days, unless the homeowner wants them gone sooner. Politics made big news last Sunday in and around Ames. For starters, a report about the Boone County Democratic Picnic for the People event last Saturday, where several Democratic presidential candidates or their surrogates showed up. Among those candidates, former Maryland Congressman John Delaney, who told the crowd the nation is moving in the wrong direction, in his opinion, that in his words, we need solutions that are workable. Another candidate, former Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Sestak, said the nation needs someone it can trust. In his words, we don't have a president that we can look to for confidence. Another presidential candidate, Marianne Williamson, was also there. She's a lecturer and an activist. She said she believes in equality for all and that by working together, the country can accomplish what she called unmeasured success. And Jill Biden was also in Boone speaking on behalf of her husband, former Vice President Joe Biden. Jill Biden said people began telling her a couple of years ago that her husband should run for president, that they miss his statesmanship, his loyalty, and his charisma. Now, shortly after she left Boone, Jill Biden made a campaign stop at the Ames Public Library. She said her husband's decision to run was motivated by several events, including the 2017 white supremacy rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, and the worsening immigration crisis. She said issues such as LGBTQ rights, women's rights, and environmental issues are at stake in the 2020 election. Another political note from last Sunday, word that former Iowa City Mayor Ross Wilburn had secured the Democratic nomination for the vacant Iowa House District 46 seat in the special election set for August 6th. That election was called after nine-term lawmaker Lisa Heddens resigned when she was appointed to the Story County Board of Supervisors. Wilburn defeated Ames City Council member Amber Corrieri and Ames School Board member Jeanette Colton for the nomination in a two-ballot convention held at Ames High. As of last Sunday, no Republican or Libertarian candidate had stepped forward in the race. One more note from last Sunday, Story County Attorney Jessica Reynolds speaking out about the recent guilty plea by the man accused of killing Iowa State student Celia Barkane Arosemena last September. Reynolds said even with the plea by Colin Richards, and even though he will spend the rest of his life in prison, There were no winners or losers in the case because, she said, it was all about justice being served. Much of the news on Tuesday had to do with upcoming 4th of July events in and around Ames, and we're going to have word on what actually took place on the 4th in just a couple of minutes. But there was other news as well, including word that a Boone County jury had found a woman guilty of child endangerment after she had left her 4-month-old child unattended in a car in a church parking lot last winter. 28-year-old Catherine Mondragon faces up to 2 years in prison. She'll be sentenced next month. The charges against her stem from a call to the sheriff's office about a suspicious car in a parking lot in Madrid. The car was not running, and it was without heat. The outside temperature at the time, 20 degrees. On a much lighter note, there was word Tuesday that a Five Guys restaurant is going to be open in Ames pretty soon. Company officials said the projected grand opening is set for Monday, July 15th. Five Guys is known for its hamburgers, and it has more than 1,600 locations around the world. The new one here at Ames is at 535 South Duff. On Wednesday, politics made big news again with a report that Democratic presidential hopeful Beto O'Rourke visited Ames on Tuesday night. About 150 people packed into an Ames home to hear O'Rourke speak, and he spoke about the border detention camps implemented by President Trump's administration and against enforcement measures by Border Control and Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. O'Rourke said, in his words, "The walls we build, the militarization at the border, consign more to greater suffering." He also said he favors a minimum wage floor of $15 an hour, broader unionization, paid family leave, and paid child care. Also Wednesday, word that about 30 protesters rallied outside Iowa 4th District Republican Congressman Steve King's office in Ames on Tuesday. They were there to show their disapproval of the detention centers used by the Trump administration to house undocumented immigrants. The crowd chanted, "Close the camps," outside King's office, and we're going to hear more about that in just a few moments on this broadcast. That crowd was part of a national day of protest in which crowds gathered outside the offices of various U.S. senators and representatives demanding that the detention facilities be shut down. Congress is in recess for the 4th of July holiday week, and Congressman King was not in his office. There was more on Wednesday, including a story that Iowa State University is creating a new unit integrating communications, marketing, and public relations. This after the retirement of University Relations Executive Director John McCarroll, who retired this past Tuesday after 22 years on the job. The University Relations Office he headed is being replaced by a new Office of Strategic Relations and Communications, and J.C. Johnson is going to serve as the interim director of that new office. One more note from Wednesday, word that the Nevada fireworks show that took place last night on the 4th might have been the last one in that community. The fire department has always provided the staff to shoot off those fireworks each 4th, and if there wasn't enough public funding for the show, department volunteers would spend some of their own money to help fill the gap. But now Fire Chief Ray Reynolds says the gap has grown too big, so sponsors are going to have to step forward to fund future fireworks shows if that's what the community wants. Yesterday, Independence Day brought word that Ames police were searching for three men who robbed the U.S. Bank on Grand Avenue and got away with an undisclosed amount of cash. Police said the men with guns drawn entered the bank near North Grand Mall, demanded money, then left in a dark-colored four-door truck. They were all wearing clothing that covered their faces. Also yesterday, a long story about Ralph Bennett of Ames, who was killed during World War II in Burma. His remains were only recently identified, and his flag-draped casket is going to be flown to Des Moines Airport next month and be met by family members. Public ceremony for Bennett is going to take place August 3rd at Ames Municipal Cemetery. There was more yesterday, including a report about a musical about the heroic feat of local hero Kate Shelley. It's going to be performed in central Iowa throughout this month. A lot of people know about Kate Shelley. This new musical is called Kate Shelley's Bridge. Now, Kate lived with her family outside Boone. She was 17 years old when, on July 6, 1881, a violent storm erupted, causing a flash flood at Honey Creek. She heard a train with four crew members on board plunge into the creek when a bridge collapsed about 11 o'clock. She knew a passenger train was scheduled to cross that bridge around midnight, so she went to the wreckage, then crawled across the bridge over the Des Moines River in heavy rain to a nearby depot to warn the crew there. It's legendary around these parts. The upcoming train was stopped in time. The premiere of Kate Shelley's Bridge, the play, will be at 1 o'clock tomorrow in Boone. Now, today's paper, Friday's, all full of news about what happened in Ames yesterday on the July 4th holiday. And among the biggest events, presidential candidate Bernie Sanders marched in the city's annual holiday parade, then gave an impassioned speech to his supporters at his campaign headquarters over on Kellogg Avenue. Now, among other things, Sanders said his goal is not just defeating President Trump, but transforming the country and creating an economy, an energy system, and a government that works for all of us, in his words, not just for the 1%. He also said that working families are sick and tired of working longer hours for lower wages, and that, in his words, we together are going to change that. Now, today's paper also had a rundown of 4th of July activities in Ames, and there were a lot of them, starting with a fireworks show outside Jack Trice Stadium on Wednesday night the 3rd. Now, that show lasted only about 10 minutes because the tremendous thunderstorm that had rolled through the area earlier that afternoon had damaged or moistened many of the fireworks fuses. So a fireworks show that normally goes 30 minutes went 11. How do I know that? I was there. On the 4th itself, yesterday there were plenty of activities, much of which I was at. This one I wasn't, including the 15th annual 5K run walk at Ada Hayden Park. But the free pancake breakfast in front of City Hall took place. I was there. The pancakes were very good. The annual 4th of July parade in downtown. Lovely event as always. Thousands of people were there. And last night's Ames Municipal Band Patriotic Concert at Bandshell Park. Again, a very nice turnout. Hundreds of people on a beautiful night. I think it's fair to say, Ursula, that a good time was had by all who attended any of these events. And that is our summary of the holiday week of news in and around Ames, Ursula.
I used to go out quite a lot, chase to chase and shot to shot. I'm all done with that somehow, and it's your town now, your town now. These days the mighty eagle sings. Money and material things, and the almighty Dow. And it's your town now, your town now. From the mountains to the plains, all the towns are wrapped in chains. And the little that the law allows, and it's your town now, it's your town now. Where are the young bands gonna play? Where the old beatniks gonna stay? Not before some corporation bow, and it's your town now, it's your town now. So be careful, everyone. Cops can get careless with their guns, and then they slip off somehow, and it's your town now, it's your town now. It's...
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. Thank you, Mr. Hart, for the local news. You mentioned that Senator Bernie Sanders spoke in Ames yesterday, and we will play that speech here on KHOI on Monday.
We were at the event, recording it, and it was remarkable in many ways, and we're looking forward to hearing that.
Standing
on
room only.
Yep.
It was, in fact, they had to turn people away.
It was also sweating room only. It was hot as
there
really was. Yeah.
Well, so, I was in the alley, so I heard it.
You heard it in the alley?
Yeah, I heard it in the alley with ice cream, so.
Okay.
Oh, wait a minute. I think we hate you for that. Ice cream?
Ice cream. They were handing it out through the window.
Oh. As Dennis mentioned, last Tuesday on July 2nd, people all over the country were gathered around U.S. Congress members' offices demanding action to close detention facilities for migrants and to withhold funds for detaining and deporting migrants, and for the reunification of families that have been separated. This in the wake of recent reports of horrific conditions in which migrants and children are being held after being separated at the border in squalid conditions and inhumane treatment.
And here in Story County in U.S. House District 4, citizens went to the office of Representative Steve King to deliver a signed letter addressed to the congressman expressing outrage regarding his defense of detention centers and other border enforcement under the Trump administration. Ames resident Brenda Brink organized the event, and she's here right beside me to my left right now. Welcome to Local Talk, Brenda.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Well, what happened on Tuesday exactly?
Well, Tuesday came about pretty quickly. It was an email, not an email, but a Facebook event that was talking about an urgency. So normally these kinds of nationwide events where they try and get local folks to organize in conjunction with the nationwide groups, it was urgent because they knew that they had to get people there and organized before any more child deaths happened, before the Congress people went off to their own family gatherings. I mean, we knew that the Congress people would be around, and it was time to hold them to task for what needed to happen at the detention camps.
So, and where did this idea come from? Was it from Move On or where?
MoveOn.org is the biggest one. It was also the National Domestic Workers Alliance, and they have a campaign called Families Belong Together. It was the American Friends Committee, Service Committee, and it was United We Dream. Those are the four big ones. But they had a whole list of people who were also promoting it, national groups, ACLU and others.
So what exactly happened when you went to Steve King's office?
Well, we had organized basically over social media, and I had no idea. I mean, I just stepped up because I saw there was nothing here. And Steve King definitely needs to be held accountable because of his racist comments in the past. So we went there. I was pretty sure from what I had heard that he wasn't going to be there. And also, I wasn't sure that the staff would be interested in hearing us. So when we got there, people just kept coming. And, of course, we have our umbrellas and we're getting drizzled on and people kept coming. I know the Ames Tribune reported 30 people, but we have 66 signatures on the letter that was taped to the door because, of course, there wasn't anybody there. But we were all on the sidewalk. We had people honking to close the camps. We had people honking because we said not one more dollar for family deportation and detention. And we had people honking because we want to reunite families. There's no reason to have people detained, and there's no reason to have children separated from families.
So was it your impression that this kind of hit a nerve?
Absolutely, because I was hoping for 15 people. Because, again, it came about so quickly, and people have plans for the holiday weekend, and it was going to storm maybe. And here we had 70 people there.
Okay, uh-huh. Now the congressman, as you say, wasn't there.
He was not there, and we didn't expect him to be because he had plans to be elsewhere.
So this was this largely for public consumption since the office was closed, for the public's awareness?
Yes, I would say it's for the public's awareness. And again, it was a way to gather people who were very concerned about what's going on. The news reports just keep piling up. I mean, the things that are happening down there right now, I have a hard time just even expressing how upset I am. And people kept coming up to me afterwards saying, thank you for holding this, because then we would tell them, okay, here's some more action steps. Sign up to hear more. So it was an organizing too.
Last Tuesday, candidate Beto O'Rourke was in Ames, and he spoke at a gathering at a private home about his recent trip to the border, where he visited the camps himself near his hometown. Cynthia, can you play a brief clip from that?
When families make this 2,000-mile journey from Honduras or El Salvador or Guatemala, the deadliest places on the planet today, places that are also experiencing historic droughts. They cannot feed themselves. And in an unprecedented move, this administration does not allow them to follow our own asylum laws to set foot in the United States, to cross the international boundary line on that bridge, and to seek asylum, which, as you may know, does not guarantee them lifelong access to the United States. They're not going to be able to take anyone's benefits or place in school or job. It just allows them to lawfully petition for asylum, especially if they can prove that they're not able to return back to their home country without endangering themselves or their kids. This administration told them to remain in Mexico, in Ciudad Juarez, which is itself not the safest place in the world today. In fact, within the last 9 years, in 2010, 2011, Ciudad Juarez was the deadliest place on the planet, bar none. And these refugees, there are now more than 10,000 of them in Ciudad Juarez. Penniless, strangers in a strange land, speaking neither English nor Spanish in some cases, many speaking an indigenous language from the Northern Triangle of Central America, are in shelters at best, and in the worst case scenarios, they are on the streets. Pray to those who would take advantage of people who are at their most miserable, their most desperate, their most vulnerable moment. We ask them to remain in place. It's a policy known as metering. We talked to some of those families at this shelter called Casa del Migrante. We met a young woman. She's 19 years old, came with her family from Honduras. All of her family members were able to go forward into California, where they are now. But because she is over the age of 18, Karen is 19 years old, she had to stay behind in Juarez. Imagine you're 19-year-old, or when you were 19 years old, being stopped, staying in a shelter, not knowing when or if you will ever join your family again, trying to navigate the U.S. legal code without the aid of an attorney or without speaking the English language. We met a father and a mother and their 4-year-old son who traveled 6 days through the Chihuahuan Desert on foot, wore out their shoes. He was talking about the broiling sun on his back, on his neck, on his head, and as his shoes wore out, the boiling hot sand that he was walking on, with his 4-year-old son on his shoulders. One of the people with whom he was traveling died of thirst, dehydration, exhaustion, not in a cage, not separated from her family, not deported back to another country, dead. More than 8,000 of our fellow human beings have died making that same crossing just in the last 20 years. And the walls that we build, the militarization at the border, consigns more to greater suffering and greater levels of death, just like that woman with whom that family was traveling. They get to the United States, they kiss the ground upon which they arrive, they turn themselves into, do not try to flee from, a Border Patrol agent who takes them into a freezing icebox of a jail cell in a Border Patrol station. They go from extreme heat to extreme cold, freaked out, doesn't know what's going to happen to them next, spend 3 days there before they're deported back to Ciudad Juarez, waiting in line. I think they were number 7,023 in line to be processed here in the United States, which, to remind everybody, is the wealthiest, the most powerful country on the face of the planet.
Brenda, your response? In some ways, it feels very far away. This is not really directly connected to the reality we're living here in Ames, Iowa. And yet we hear reports like this.
Another reason that it hit me so hard is I think a lot about the Statue of Liberty, and we're almost all of us immigrants ourselves. And when we hear about people just trying to come to the United States to create a new life, to invigorate our America, which is what has always happened in the United States of America, is we are invigorated by immigrants and enriched by immigrants. And then to have this kind of a inhumane policy going on, and basically those detention centers, I just have to say this, those detention centers are in place from last summer's budgeting of a contract without any bidding on it that is enriching people's pockets who are very close to President Trump. So these detention centers are really there for a reason, and that is follow the money. It's profiting. It's not because of this is what we are as Americans.
So, Brenda, many Democratic candidates have spoken out against these detention centers. But this is a program being instituted by the Trump administration. What would you have Congressman King do? Because it, in many ways, as you know, it doesn't matter what Congressman King says or thinks. The president's going to do what he wants to do. What would you have the congressman do?
Oh, I think the congressman, just like we were asking every member of Congress this last weekend, we said bear witness. And that was one of our three demands, bear witness. And we found that because of the pressure of those demonstrations and also people contacting their congresspeople, that a lot of congresspeople went down and visited Border Patrol stations, detention centers. And he needs to do that, too, because he needs to see for his own eyes and report back what he saw. Because that's the thing. It's right there. If you see what's happening, you say, how can this be happening? These are people, you know, they need to be taken care of. Why are children by themselves and away from their family? So he needs to do that and report back to his constituents, and that's why we were there. Now, if he chooses not to do that, that's on him too.
Has there been any response from the King office to the demonstration?
No, no. I honestly don't expect it to be based on his history. He's been very clear.
Okay, you had mentioned there are probably some next steps. What do you see? Where do you see the effort to bring this to the, you know, to accountability?
Well, we've had good connections just at that day. There was something the very next day down at the Neil Smith Federal Building in regards to Senator Ernst and Senator Grassley, and that got the attention of 100 people standing there. So we have plans to do more things now that we know who is involved in other spheres, because we didn't even know we were each doing these things. On July 12th, the Friday, there's going to be lightsforliberty.org organized, again, another national event with something over at the Justice Center for Story County in Nevada, because there are ICE detainees being kept there.
Brenda, if somebody would like to contact you or wants to get involved, what should they do?
I suggest sending an email, so it's brendarbrink@gmail.com.
And Brink with a K?
Yeah, Brink. Just
okay, so you're inviting people to contact you.
Yes, because that's how we started our organization after the rally, is making sure that whoever wanted to be contacted and hooked in to whatever we get organized in the future should contact me, because I'm not doing this as as a paid employee of anything. Somebody needed to step up, and now I'm helping them continue.
It's something that you really feel very strongly about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Brenda, for coming in and telling us about it. Yeah, I have prepared just a reflection on yesterday. The weather held up for the 4th for both Ames and Slater.
Yes.
Saw a big turnout for the celebrations. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make it to Slater, although I heard good reports about it. But I did go to the pancake breakfast in Ames.
I didn't see you there. I was there myself. Where were you?
And the Ames parade, I didn't see you in the parade either.
No, I was on the sidelines.
So I'm bringing back here some of the sights and sounds from the day.
Enjoy. All right.
My 4th of July started out at 9 o'clock in the morning. People were already setting up their chairs along Douglas Avenue in front of KHOI and all the way down the parade route. Why you take the trouble to come out here so early to the 4th of July parade?
Very proud to live in Iowa and this great country of America and support everything that the 4th of July stands for. Freedom isn't free, and so it's very important that we talk about it, respect it, and share the history with everyone.
Happy 4th of July from the Gardeners.
I'm his wife.
Why do you take the trouble to come out here and get an early seat?
The spot to give kids get good candy and be with family.
I grew up in a military family. My dad was a pilot during World War II, and I do love this day and the other national holidays to be able to share with my grandchildren what a special place they live in. They're all out getting pancakes while I save the spot.
What are you doing, sir?
We're getting ready to set up to grill some food. The American Legion.
You're a volunteer here?
Yes.
I'm Sandy Deacon from the American Legion family. We want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July and let you know that we are celebrating our 100th anniversary of the American Legion.
After walking down Main Street, past the American Legion, past the announcer's table, where preparations were already being made, awaiting the beginning of the 4th of July parade, I finally arrived at City Hall. Thousands of people sitting at tables, lining up for pancakes, lining up for coffee and water, plus lots of activities for the kids, including climbing fire trucks and playing with fire hoses.
How were the pancakes? 4 stars?
4.5.
This is the pancake flippers.
Yes.
It's very hot in here.
Very.
You guys holding up okay?
I think so. We got a lot of water. And
how long have you been doing this?
Chris Cakes has been around for about 50 years. So don't we travel around and do these kind of events?
And where are you headquartered?
Pocahontas, Iowa.
And how long have you been doing it this morning?
We started at about 8, and I think it's 10 or something, so, a couple hours.
But do you know about how many pancakes get served?
We don't know how many pancakes, but we do know plate-wise, and that's how many people, and probably around 1,000.
You're the syrup guy?
I'm refilling the syrup and the butter, yeah. Okay. My wife works for the city, so I'm just here to help out.
You're the water people, right?
Yes, we are.
We are. Drink lots of water. My name is Kevin Deal, and I work for the City of Ames Water Plant. I do this every year. This is one of my big things for the city that I enjoy doing. I've done them since the very beginning, so that's probably about 14 years, if I remember right.
How were the pancakes?
The pancakes were delicious. 4 stars.
Hi. Here we have our city council at work.
Gloria Betcher, Ward 1 City Council Representative, and I'm assuming this is KHOI. Great. Glad to see you. Happy 4th of July to everyone, and thank you for joining us for the exciting pancake feed. We are not getting thunderstorms. I love 4th of July just because it's a time for families to get together and take some time off with each other and appreciate the country.
Mayor Haluk?
Yes, hi.
You're carrying water here.
No, I'm carrying hot coffee.
Did you give us a 4th of July message to the community?
Well, it's just a great tradition. Get the community together. Mayor, City Council hosts a pancake breakfast. Thousands of people that come down here to enjoy it. And right now, it looks like the line goes halfway down 6th Street to Burnett. What's really nice is that we have city employees, everyone from police department, water department, public works, parks and recreation, that come out here and serve the community and give back to the community that we love so dearly. Happy 4th of July to you.
We are from Brazil. This is all new for us. And I'd like to know more about the pancake. Can you tell me?
Mayor Haluk, these people are from Brazil, and they want to know what's going on. This is the mayor of Ames.
Yeah, nice.
Welcome. Yeah. Pancake Rest is just a tradition to bring the community together and just have a meal together.
Yeah, it's so nice. Yes. You know, wonderful.
How long have you been here?
We're here since Friday. We're going to study, and we are English teacher, and we are here to learn more.
What do you think of Iowa State?
I love it. It's so cozy, you know?
Cozy?
Cozy, yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Very friendly.
Always smiling like you. I love it. How do you to celebrate Independence Day in Brazil?
We have a parade, a big parade. Military people goes around the street showing their uniforms and stuff like that. People stay there to look at it. But we don't have this kind of celebration. No pancakes. We don't have this kind of thing. Amazing and enjoying ourselves with this. We would like to do.
For me, it's a great experience, and I really didn't imagine to be here. I love everything here. It's really beautiful, so it's a great party. Okay.
This is Chris Nelson, Ames City Council Ward 4. Happy 4th of July. Great weather. It's been a great day here. We get a very diverse group of people that come to this event.
I'm Amber Corrieri, at-large representative for the Ames City Council, and I'm serving up delicious Ames water to everyone this morning.
I got coffee this morning, and it's not really going flying off the shelves very quickly.
So nice to see everyone out here on a beautiful morning.
Water, coffee, orange beverage, whatever fluid you want, we got.
So what's your 4th of July message, Councilwoman Beatty Hansen?
You know, I think it's a day that we all take great pride in our country, and we think we need also to keep in mind what we can work on that bring more unity rather than divisiveness, and certainly an end to violence and poverty and the situation at the border and all that.
Could I get a statement from All-American Dad?
It's his first 4th of July as an American citizen.
When did you become an American citizen?
June 12th, this year.
Any difference?
Now I feel I have more freedom than before. I'm not scared, like right now I'm already American, so not afraid of anything.
So it makes you feel safe to have a citizenship because it's a protection.
Yes. A lot safer than before. I feel like I'm very, very safe than before, so.
Officer, would you like to give a 4th of July message?
Happy Independence Day to the City of Ames.
And what are you doing here?
I'm wrapping forks and napkins for our visitors.
And your name?
Chuck Sykosh.
Thank you. It's good to have our police chief wrapping forks on 4th of July.
It's what we do.
You come to the pancake breakfast often?
Oh, yeah, every year. I play with the Ames Municipal Band as well, and so I'll be on the trailer and just thought to get pancakes before. So the community aspect of things.
Uh-huh.
Mary Rankin, Ames and Iowa State Sustainability Director. What are you doing?
I'm composting with our new community compost program, Food Waste Diversion. It's a brand new personal residential composting program that the City of Ames has just kicked off. And this little bucket that I have here, it allows you to collect your composting in a bucket and then drop it off at either the Resource Recovery Center or the Yard Waste site. So we are kicking that off by composting all the food waste and paper products such as napkins that are being produced at today's pancake breakfast.
Corey Bleeker, can I just ask you real quick to describe what you're doing here? You're with the Ames Fire Department.
I'm a firefighter, been here 15 years with them, and we're down here obviously today showing our trucks, talking about what we do for the city, and letting the kids and the parents and such ask questions about what we do and why and how.
You have one of your fire trucks here, and the doors are open, and kids are crawling all over it.
That's right. Engine 1 is sitting down here. It'll be in the parade here in another half an hour or so. And, yeah, we like to let the kids go and explore it, look at all the different things, sit in the seats, imagine what it might be like to be a firefighter maybe when they're older. It's where a lot of us got our start was when we were little. And, hey, yeah, I want to do that when I'm an adult, you know.
What do kids generally say about the truck?
It's big and it's cool.
Okay.
That's about it.
Thank you.
The other common question is, why isn't it red? Because we have an all-white fleet.
You order on this side generally and then you'll...
I was so busy talking to people with my recorder that I never did end up getting any pancakes, but I did get a hot dog in the parking lot of Wheatsfield, which was being used as a staging area for people who were planning to be in the parade.
So you got them.
It seemed to be the area where most of the political groups had gathered.
You're walking with Bernie?
Yes.
Healthcare is a human right. Access to healthy food is a human right. And Bernie Sanders is really the only candidate who's been saying that. And he's been saying it for a long time in a big way. And we're still there. We still need these solutions.
Here he comes.
Hey, how are you doing there, sir?
Good.
How are you? Get a picture with you, sir.
Bernie, why Ames?
Why not Ames? Going all over the state, we're going to win here in Iowa, and Ames is key to our victory.
How was Slater?
Great.
Can we actually pull out about 6 feet?
Where are you going?
I want to stand about 6 feet. Thank you.
You with the Bernie campaign or the police?
I'm the logistics guy, and
okay.
I'm focused on other things right now.
Okay. We have lots of Democrats here today to walk in the Ames Parade. Kamala Harris, we've got...
Cory Booker's
Corey.
Team.
Elizabeth Warren.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got a big...
Bernie's here.
Bernie's here.
We have a big variety of people.
As an elected official, what's your 4th of July statement, Linda Merkin, Story County Supervisor?
Our Supreme Court just did a horrible ruling on gerrymandering. Iowa has the greatest reapportionment law in the nation. So I think we as Iowans need to talk with people in other states and encourage them to look at our statute and to protect the right to vote for all of their citizens. That's my Independence Day message, protect the vote.
Do you know, are the Republicans here too?
You have to see if you can find any.
Are you the Story County Republicans?
I don't know, who's asking?
I'm with KHOI Radio, Community Radio.
Yeah. What do you need?
So we ran across the Democrats down there and wanted to hear from the Republicans.
I'm going to pass. So.
Okay. Would you say something on behalf of the Story County Republicans?
I'm okay. Stacey, Story County Recorder.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
It's a beautiful day. God bless America and have a safe and happy 4th of July, I guess.
Do you have any candidates?
No, we don't. Not this year.
Would you like to say something on behalf of the Story County Republicans, a 4th of July greeting?
Hope everybody has a wonderful time, and remember what this day represents. It's our freedom, and we need to celebrate it and protect it.
So my name is Bree Dykstra. I am a senior at Iowa State University. I'm in biosystems engineering, and I just joined Climate Action Team last month, and I'm really excited about the turnout today.
I am Christopher Duhame. I'm a graduate of ISU in environmental science. I like to make a big issue on the corporation's responsibility on actually the climate in action. 71% of the pollution in the world comes from the top 100 companies. I think that's a major problem. I think that we need to address it on the political and local level. I'm 22 years old, and my generation is going to be the one that is going to face the consequences rather than the generation that's spending all the money and the generation that's in charge right now.
I'm here because Ames can have a local impact on our climate, and we need to start doing more with renewable energies and waste reduction programs, and there's a lot of things that we can do to help our Earth.
I'm an old person who has enjoyed the benefits of a wonderful Earth. I want to keep it that way for young people.
There's a simple thing like walking in a parade that declares
one more person for working to stabilize climate and working for the benefit of future generations, I'm here to do it.
We only have about 11 years to deal with climate change, otherwise it'll become catastrophic, and it meant catastrophic for the human species, so that's why I'm here.
Climate change is more important than anything else on the planet. There's lots of people marching for various causes, but if we don't have a planet that's livable, a lot of things don't matter. If we have a climate that we can't tolerate that kills everything around us, it makes me cry, actually.
This is the Boy Scouts?
Yes. We are PAC 159. So we have all camping gear. We've got fishing poles. We've got flags for the United States. And we've got all flags for the ranks of Cub Scouts. And candy.
And you've got a girl.
Yes, we have three girls in our pack.
You have a T-shirt on that says Stars and Stripes Protective Rights.
Yes.
Would you say what that means?
It means that a woman should be able to decide what she wants to do with her body.
This is your 4th of July message?
Yes, definitely. Okay.
What is this?
Schaefer's Auto Body.
So you're a collision repair shop.
Collision and they've always had their iconic wooden car out front of the shop. It's built on a 91 Cavalier chassis. Sam's dad and another guy built the wooden car around it.
What's your 4th of July message?
Keep America great.
Hi, how are you? We're Bethesda Lutheran Church. We have blue on because the Bible says that Jesus gave the living water of Jesus Christ, and so we're giving out bottles of water for people. 1,520 bottles of ice water.
You enjoy doing this?
Oh, I love it. I love it. You know, when you're thirsty, that's a gift to have some water.
Yeah.
And that just is symbolic of who Jesus is the living water.
We were chanting, Bernie, 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 and then they went around, they were like, no, Bernie doesn't want us to chant, so we all were quiet, and we were just walking in the parade, we were just quiet, like sneaking along in the parade, no noise, nothing, we're just like quietly walking along in the parade, and then people were looking over, and they saw that Bernie Sanders was with us, and they were like, oh my God, it's Bernie Sanders. Saw some skinny guy with an Iowa State cap on, and they're like, huh? Bernie Sanders. Wow, what? A big quiet crowd. We were muted with our little signs, and we actually had our candidate with us. A stealth campaign.
Chris Ewan, Ames High Drumline.
How many people you got here?
About 25 kids.
People enjoy doing this?
Ask them.
You enjoy doing this?
I love doing this. This is my passion. I love it. I want to do drum corps in the future, so this is a great starting point for me. Love it.
And thus the Ames 4th of July pancake breakfast and 4th of July parade proceeded.
Are you getting candy?
Yes.
Happy Independence Day after from us at KHOI Community Radio.
And there you have it, the sights and sounds of a great 4th of July celebration, courtesy of Ursula Rudenberg. One of those sights and sounds, yesterday morning, the pancake breakfast, where I saw Susan Guiazda of the City of Ames. And you were out there. Did you enjoy the breakfast yesterday, Susan?
Oh, yes, it was a great event. It always is. We think that was our 14th year. We've kind of lost track. It was a little touch and go for a bit there. You know, the weather was not cooperating.
Mm-hmm.
What we typically do the last couple of years is we have a big tent for our participants to enjoy their pancakes under. Because of the weather on Wednesday, our tent company was not able to put up the metal structure that holds the tent.
Uh-huh.
They tried and tried and tried, and in the end, it just wasn't safe. And it takes about 4 hours to put that up. So when we arrived on 4th of July, Thursday morning, we just proceeded without the tents, and people were very understanding. It was,
oh, yeah. I noticed the tent wasn't there. I didn't know if this was a new thing for the city or just something that
you know, it was funny because when we got there at 6 in the morning and it just looked kind of overcast, we thought, okay, this will be fine. As it got sunnier and sunnier, as you know, when I saw you, it was quite bright.
Uh-huh.
And so I know that that was a struggle for some people to be out there in the sun like that. But it was it had kind of this open-air feeling. It was a nice breakfast. We had about 1,500 people come, which is a little bit lower than previous years, but not bad considering all the questionable weather and the parade went on.
Yes,
it really
did.
Was a lovely, lovely day.
Yeah, and that all of those events are great. If people listening right now have never attended them, they should. It's a fun thing.
It's absolutely. We say it's a great way to celebrate your community and your country.
Yep. Well, you have a lot of things to talk about this morning, so why don't you start?
Yeah, well, July, once again, shaping up. A lot of great events. We would like people to remember that the 4th Annual Rummage Rampage is scheduled. Just to refresh your memory, Rampage is a community-wide garage sale held in the Ames Intermodal Facility at 129 Hayward. That's a parking ramp, a shared facility between Iowa State and City of Ames. There is public parking in this ramp on Hayward. And for a few days, actually almost 10 days, at the end of July, early August, the city, in conjunction with the ISU Office of Sustainability, kind of takes over the ramp, parts of the ramp, and has this big community garage sale. It has been a fabulous opportunity for people who are moving out of Ames to shed some unwanted furniture, to get rid of some items that as they move out of their current home, they can get rid of in a really sustainable way. So sometimes if you're moving out of an apartment, people panic and they start throwing things that are still really, really quite good onto the curb into a garbage dumpster. We're asking people not to do that and instead donate it, their items, to the Rummage Rampage event. So on Friday, July 26th, from noon to 6, we'll start taking those items and staging them for the big event. And then on Saturday, July 27th at 8 a.m., we open for business. And if you've never experienced it, it's a fantastic kind of experience where you have this very large garage sale and a lot of people interested in some really good finds. We price things we price to move.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good event. Go to it if you've never done it.
It is. And the other part that I didn't bring up is the fact that the people who run the event are volunteers. Mm-hmm. They represent, I think at this point, more than 20 local nonprofit organizations. So people donate their unwanted items to us. We stage them and sell them, and we have volunteers that work. And at the end of the event, and it goes all the way from the first day, Saturday, July 27th at 8 a.m., we have sales and drop-off all the way through Saturday, August 3rd. Mm. At the end of that day, we tally up the results, and we kick the proceeds back out to all those groups that helped.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. Last year, we divided up $18,000. And the biggest thing, the thing that's important to the city of Ames, is we redistributed more than 20 tons of product.
Yeah.
So if you've driven around Ames at the end of July, you'll see things show up on the curbside.
Yes, they do.
And as you drive by, you think, well, that looks like a decent chair. Or why would somebody throw that away? We're asking people not to do that.
Yeah.
The key here is that you have to plan a little bit better. On July 26th, we will take your items. We can't take them before that unless you are willing to go through the resource recovery plant drive-up line. There is a fee for dropping your items off. Typically, when people go through the drive-up line at Resource Recovery, they're dumping trash, and it's a $10 a carload or $25 a pickup load fee to dump your items. But if there's items that are of quality, we'll pull them aside, and we have a little bit of a storage area that we can keep them there, and then we'll transport them on July 26th over to the ramp.
But if they don't do that, they have to deliver their own items to the ramp.
Yep.
Okay.
And we'll take them on that Friday, July 26th, and we'll take them all week.
Okay.
So as people are moving, and we know that there are different move-in dates, you know, we have to be very cognizant. Ames is a a community in transit. I mean, we're constantly moving and turning over. And we know that we have a lot of people in apartments, and different days of the week, their leases end and new leases begin. So we keep expanding the days that we hold this event, but it's been tremendously successful, and it would never have worked without community support. It has really been a fantastic collaboration.
You've got a few more things to quickly talk about. We've got about 5 minutes left here.
Okay. I'll go ahead.
Well, at 4th of July, we launched our food composting pilot program called Forward, or Food Waste Diversion. It's a program that gives people the opportunity to purchase a bucket, a composting bucket with a composting bag in it, and then a punch card. So as a community, we know we have a system where we turn trash into fuel, but we also know that we throw away a lot of food. Food does not make the best fuel. So here's a way to divert that food into compost. We ask you to collect your food waste, and then you take your punch card to Resource Recovery or Green RU, which is on Friel Drive, which is the yard waste site. And you can dump your bucket when it's full, whenever you're ready. And then each dump takes a punch, and then you can continue to collect food waste. We've had a lot of requests for some kind of food diversion program. And it's a pilot program, so we could adjust this as we get more and more feedback. So far, we've had good response. We were at the 4th of July pancake breakfast taking pancakes that people weren't eating or that had fallen on the ground. You put those in the compost bin, and when the bins fill up, we would take them to the different sites. It's really this idea that that as a country, we buy a lot more food, or we don't use as much food as we buy, so we're throwing away a lot of food. Rather than that food ending up in a landfill, are there better places for it?
I have to admit, I haven't heard about this program. You just started, right?
We just launched it. So we'll see how it goes. It really is in response to people asking us for something. I don't want to throw food in the garbage. I don't have a yard to do my own composting, or I'm not interested in producing compost because I don't garden. But what can I do with my food waste?
Does this include meat scraps?
Yeah. Yep. So if you buy the buckets and the composting bags and the punch card, it's a $20 investment. And then that gives you 5 punches. After you have gone and dumped your compost bin 5 times, you can buy a refill. It's $10, and you get a 5-punch card again. Some people said, I think it'll take me a month to fill this bin. Other people said, well, I might dump the bin every week. But it really is because you personally feel that it's the right thing to do. Other people are already composting. We know lots of people already compost because they like that. But I don't like to put food down the garbage disposal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem right to throw it away. So this seems like a better reuse. So we'll see how it goes. And if we get feedback, if people don't like something about this new pilot program, we'll adjust.
And you'll have a report on that next month and how it's going so
far.
Yeah,
we can tell you. We already sold multiple bins. Bins are for sale right now at the City of Ames City Hall Community Center and at Resource Recovery. So pick up your bins today.
What else you got?
Well, I'm actually going a little bit ahead. As we get ready for football season, we just want to remind people that football parking is a problem.
Yes. Yes,
and people park all sorts of interesting odd ways during a home football game. And we want to remind people that the city council has passed an ordinance that parking fines will double for illegal parking on football game days this year. Our first game is towards the end of August. This affects directly those neighborhoods next to Jack Trice Stadium. There are signs going up that say, remember, fines double for game day parking. If you park on the wrong side of the street or on a yellow, you are putting yourself at risk for a $40 fine. That is twice the normal rate. This really is a safety issue. If you look at photos or you walk around those neighborhoods during home football games and you think about, why, what if an ambulance needed to get through here or a fire truck? How would they get through? And we've also had drivers say, I had to back up because I met an oncoming vehicle. Yep. I couldn't get past. So really is important that people follow the signs. We're not doing it to be mean. It is a public safety issue. It's really about being a good neighbor.
Okay.
something to put on your calendars. National Night Out is a huge event we're having. It's Banshell Park. A lot of people like to come to National Night Out. Mm-hmm. Kind of makes me a little sad because it makes me think about back to school, and it seems early to be thinking about that. Tuesday, August 6th from 5:30 to 8:30. Ames Police Department hosts this event. It's community building and strengthens neighborhood spirit and police community partnerships.
Okay.
So that's a lot going on. And then just a reminder that as we go through the summer, construction continues to be an ongoing issue. We try to keep you posted on all sorts of construction updates on our website, cityofames.org/construction. Please check out our Facebook page, City of Ames. Also, we're on Twitter and Instagram. We put those construction notices up as quick as we get them. We have a public meeting already scheduled on July 10th for some asphalt resurfacing by Reliable Street. So there's a lot of different projects coming up that affect neighborhoods, and we put out those opportunities to get involved early in the process as soon as we get them.
And 30 seconds, Ames on the Go, the app.
Oh, Ames on the Go. Make sure if you see some kind of city infrastructure issue, a pothole, a broken traffic sign, something, a streetlight not working, put that Ames on the Go app on your phone or go to it on the website and report it.
Thank you, Susan Guiasta, City of Ames Public Relations Officer.
See you next month.
And you have been listening to Local Talk. We've been your hosts, Ursula Rudenberg and Dennis Hart.
Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., noon, and 5 p.m. on Fridays on KHOI. Also, remember that you can hear a recording of this show later today online at khoifm.org and find links to the guests and information you heard during the program. And also, please remember that KHOI is streaming live online at khoifm.org. Our theme song, as always, Backtrackin' by Tom Richards and Al Harris from the CD The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Remember that Kate Shelley play is going to take place this weekend in Boone. We also heard Your Town Now by Greg Brown and John Philip Sousa, Stars and Stripes Forever.
And remember that you, the listener, are what makes KHOI meaningful and possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.
On the radio soon.